B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Thursday, February 28th, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on WWKB 1520 in Buffalo and ESPN Radio 97.7, 100.1, and 1200 AM in Syracuse, New York. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, following our social media question yesterday, we're going to put together a list of our favorite boss battles of all time. Plus, we'll reset the bracket for the FGC. Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Joe over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get a gaming news update.
Gaming News Update with Joe Sloan.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
Well, guys, it's happened again. With Fortnite action set to get underway tomorrow at IEM Katowice, of course, Season 8 dropped today. Multiple pro players have sounded off, voicing their frustration that their preferred drop point has been patched out.
Unacceptable!
I think there's a Team Liquid player named Poach who's just like, this is ridiculous.
I'm still going to show up and get that money, though.
But here's the thing. At this point, like, how has Epic not figured it out? Like,
This is an ignorance, Nate.
Well, no, but I understand that likely they're thinking of the promotional aspect, but they're not thinking long term about this when they don't have the microtransactions to be able to support the kind of prize pools that they're putting up right now. This is all unsustainable. This is all a big bubble. And when it pops, like, you want your esports scene to be the thing that gives your game longevity. We've seen games like Counter-Strike be relevant long after their popularity.
Melee.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I do not understand how they think that this is the play here.
I don't either.
It's short-sighted. It's short-sighted as hell.
But at this point, if I'm a pro and I'm playing in Fortnite, like, I got to be feeling raw every time a tournament is coming up. Like, why would I practice?
Why would I practice?
Of course the pros are looking at Apex Legends like a life raft. Like, I get it. I totally get it. And it seems like Epic is tone deaf to all of these complaints, and this is really going to be to their detriment.
And I just want to say, just to be fair, this is not us dog piling on Fortnite just because it's not our game of choice. No, this is objectively ridiculous.
Well, because remember the last time that they mentioned this, Fortnite said they would at least give them a week before this happened again.
Well, that was a lie.
Yeah.
Yep.
Flat out.
Ratings coming in from Nielsen are good news for Overwatch. We've finally gotten some numbers on the opening weekend viewership for Overwatch League, and they're looking great. Viewership was up 30% over the opening weekend last year. These numbers do take into consideration the league being broadcast on the ESPN app as well as Disney XD.
So that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
From an
seems like
in
that.
Rating.
Well, I mean, again, you know, we're looking at it from a very gamer-centric perspective, but to me, you know, if you look at those metrics, it seems like Overwatch is the only esport that is actively trying to grow the pool of viewership.
Yeah.
And it's working.
Well, that's the thing. It's good that it's up 30%, but it really needs to be. You did add 8 more teams
almost
into your league.
Doubled the league. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You add a bunch of new teams into your league, you put on new platforms, I expect the viewership to go up. It needs to.
Yeah.
The official League of Legends subreddit is easing up on their rules about user-made content. Specifically, they're lifting their zero-tolerance ban on meme content, allowing for high-quality content to be on the platform. This is important to the content creation community that has for years expressed frustration towards League over their policies.
Okay, so Joe, can I ask you this question?
Yeah.
Was this mostly because people were drawing quite inappropriate things on the Reddit?
Here's the thing. People like memes, right?
Yeah.
That's generally
true.
Yeah. The League community really likes memes.
That's true.
And frequently, the League subreddit in the early days would be naught but memes.
Okay.
It was just not
a Rule 34 situation.
I'm sure that's part of it.
But it's a scaling issue. Yeah. Like, when it was allowed, there was just too much of it. Yes. So this is
them saying, like, listen, if it's a high-quality thing that you have created in its entirely, yes, we'll allow it to. And that was a lot of content creators, their issues. Like,
sure.
Hey, I put a lot of work into this League of Legends thing that I think the community would enjoy. Why are you banning it?
Well, and we know that Reddit kind of frowns on self-promotion.
They do.
In various communities. So that may have been an issue, too. So, I mean, just interesting to see a kind of changing of the attitudes towards that kind of stuff.
Nike is continuing their push into the esports world. No longer content with just sponsoring a single team or player, they've now become the official apparel and shoe sponsor of the entire LPL Chinese region for League of Legends.
Another victory for America.
Well, I'd say for China.
Nike's an American brand.
I guess that's fair, but man, that's a big move.
Do you know how hard it is for games to get released in China? Do you know how hard it is for any American brand to penetrate the Chinese market?
Yeah, that's fair.
Nike has just made it in League of Legends of all things, right? Something that gets watched by millions of people a year. Come on, bro.
I mean, anytime, you know, we've talked about Nike before moving into esports, but for them to take on an entire league, I mean, who else shoe or apparel-wise is really...
I think Puma is the provider for Cloud9 in the States.
Yeah, but, like, it's not a really well, like, tread market yet.
No, it's not. And that's part of what makes this deal even more amazing. We talk about, in non-endemic brands getting involved in the space. We talk about who can elevate esports athletes to that next level. Guess who's the best at doing that? Nike.
I just think it's really cool that, you know, they're reinvesting in a region. You know, they've had their shoes made there by children for so long that now that those children are esports athletes, at least they're going to be able to wear the shoes.
No. The human era is over.
One of the most anticipated games of the year will indeed be at E3 this year. CD Projekt Red has confirmed that Cyberpunk 2077 will be at E3, fueling speculation that we'll finally get that release date we've been waiting for.
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
CD Projekt Red, reach out.
I need...
Cookie, please set the meeting up. We need to be there.
I desperately need a good narrative-driven game that is going to last longer than 20 hours to sink my teeth into.
I agree.
I don't know how long Cyberpunk 2077 is, but from everything that I understand about it, it's supposed to be a fairly hefty game. I want to be able to get at least 50 to 60 hours out of it, no DLC.
I need my Cyberpunk Skyrim.
That's my hope. Because I really want this, and maybe I'm playing a little bit too much of my hand here, but I really want this game to be something that those that still believe in narrative-driven games can hang their hat on and go, see, it's not impossible to make it well, and have it be financially successful in the era of microtransactions and battle royales.
I think what I'm counting on from it is that when we get that date dropped at E3, it's going to be a lot sooner than any of us think.
I completely agree.
Oh, it's going to be like a February release.
Oh, I think sooner than that. I think it's going to be a holiday 2019 release. Yeah. Star Wars Celebration is coming up in April, and the event will have a game being shown off at it. Ahead of its anticipated fall release date, Respawn's Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order will be available at the event this year. The event runs April 11th through the 15th, and Jedi Fallen Order is expected to be shown off on Saturday the 13th.
Is this... Do we know... Were any of the assets that Amy Hennig's project,
this was an entirely separate thing. This was Respawn's project.
This was theirs from the beginning. Yeah. And this is the one that takes place during Order 66.
Right after. You play as a Padawan who survived Order 66 on the run from the Empire.
Interesting premise. I'm going to be curious to see what Respawn does with it. Obviously, they're coming off of Apex, which is hugely praised and successful. We'll see what they do. I have a feeling I don't know if this is true or not, but I have a feeling that Respawn may be, at least for the next 5 to 10 years, you know, the game that everyone, or the developer that everyone looks towards for quality, you know, kind of like Infinity Ward used to be in the back in the day, or how people used to
Rockstar.
Praise Bethesda. Yeah, well, Rockstar is still there, but,
yeah.
You know, like BioWare, Bethesda have definitely fallen from those graces. See, and I think Respawn, especially with the momentum from Apex, has the opportunity to be that.
And that's all for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Joe, for the update. On Wednesday morning, Nintendo made the biggest headline in gaming history as they unveiled the 8th generation of Pokemon franchise. Well, maybe not history.
I don't know about gaming history.
I don't want to oversell it.
It was certainly the biggest headline of the week. I'll give you that.
You should have been a little bit more specific when you wrote that, but
I didn't write gaming history. No, you added that.
No, you didn't, but you should have been a little bit more specific in qualifying it.
Pokemon Sword and Shield does get unveiled. It's going to be featuring the Galar region based off the United Kingdom.
Basically, England turned upside down.
Yeah, I did not catch that at all until someone showed me the picture. It's literally just England turned upside down.
Steampunk England.
Pretty much, it's steampunk England. Victorian era, kind of. Now, a little after that.
After. Steampunk.
Steampunk, I would say.
It's going to be available for the Switch in late 2019. And I think one of the big things...
I'm guessing holiday.
Usually they drop anywhere from October to early December.
It'll be holiday.
I'm seeing this, like, I don't know why this sticks out in my head, but like December 2nd, that date.
You know what it is? It's going to be bundled with the new SKU for the new Switch.
Like a Switch Lite or something.
Mm-hmm.
They have talked about the Switch Lite.
They talked about a Switch Lite and a Switch Pro. So.
Yeah, could be.
That could be. I don't know. I'm really excited about this. I like the new region. I love the new memes that are coming out for it.
Sometimes you hate when these kinds of like memes and like fan headcanons happen.
Sure.
Are you okay with Scottish female Pokemon trainer?
Absolutely. Who wouldn't be? Because this
is the
best
thing ever.
Scottish people.
It's basically the all of the memes with the main chick from what's that Disney flick?
Brave.
Yeah, Brave. That's it.
Well, she's Irish.
She's Scottish.
She's Scottish. But it's basically all of those memes, but applied to this
Pokemon.
And I like that because we're also having that with the Eric Andre meme, the let me in with the Pikachu.
Yes.
From the Detective Pikachu movie.
There's a lot of meme convergence around Pokemon right now.
I think the one that I saw was like, when the Pikachu meme is out, but crossover memes are at their peak. And it was the Pikachu, let me in. I love that kind of stuff. But
I do like, by the way, it's the Sobble, but it's got a blue Pikachu head face on it. I'm like,
Talk about these three starters that they unveiled.
Yep.
Scorbunny for the win.
Scorbunny for sure. I think that's my choice.
46% of our Twitter followers agree with you, by the way.
I do. The wood monkey.
Grookey.
Yeah, the wood monkey is not bad.
I'm sorry. Do you mean the Furby?
Yeah, he's basically just a Furby,
Yeah.
By the way, have you seen like the pictures going around like with them side by side with the three Powerpuff Girls?
Yeah,
because it's a little disturbing.
It is.
When you see it, you can't unsee it.
The one that I really liked was, I finally figured out Grookey's final form, and it's a picture of Cell from Dragon Ball Z.
That was funny.
That was really good.
That's
fair.
It's
that's
imperfect
fair.
Cell or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Joe, only 13% of our Twitter followers agree with you on the Grookey, by the way.
He said Scorbunny.
Yeah.
You just threw your hands up for Grookey.
No, I was just saying, Grookey.
Grookey, yeah,
oh,
no. I definitely vote for Scorbunny.
Yeah, no, yeah, because only 13
What's
people.
What's the
he's
last little...
I don't know, Loogie? That's Loogie.
Sobble.
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 Is it Sobble or Sobble?
Sobble.
It's Sobble. No, I know. His name is...
That is disgusting.
Yeah, stop it.
He's going to have the best final form, and y'all are
his name is post nasal drip.
Now, have you guys started to see the rumored leaks for the final forms yet?
No.
I've already seen Fire Steel for Scorbunny, and it's like this like cyborg looking like almost RoboCop kind of.
It did not look cool.
You found a picture of Bunny Rabot from the old Sonic the Hedgehog cartoon show.
Get out of here.
That's what you found.
Yeah, that sounds right.
By the way, Fire Steel, that is a ridiculous typing.
Fire Steel would be an awesome typing, which is, we figured it out, we looked it up, that's only Heatran. Heatran, that's
it. Yeah, Heatran. That's one of the few that has had that typing. It's ridiculous.
I know, but it would be such a great typing.
Do
you have any hopes beyond, I mean, obviously we know their base element, but the secondary typing on these, do you guys have any hopes for what you're hoping for Final Four?
I'd be grass fighting for Grookey.
Yeah, I could see grass fighting.
Grass fighting.
Yeah, I could see that. Most of the monkey type Pokemon following
grass
the fighting.
I don't know.
I can't do another fire fighting main. I don't need that.
I don't think you're going to get fire fighting.
For water, because I don't think we're going to get... actually, have we had a water ghost before?
Because
he's transparent.
He's a chameleon.
The cloaking thing. Water psychic or water ghost? Maybe
I can see water.
Water
psychic.
Because we had fire psychic in XY.
Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I can see water psychic.
But fire. I mean, water ghost seems like that would be busted as
it would be on par with fire steel.
That's true.
They'd both be pretty strong.
I think that's
bizarre typing.
Really weird.
And then you're gonna get something garbage like grass ice for the third one.
Yeah, but it's like to have typings that strong as your starters just seems odd.
They wouldn't get the secondary typing until their third evolution.
Right. Yeah,
Granted, that's at like level 27.
That's what I'm saying. That's still the vast majority of the game.
Grass ghost last gen was pretty broken, but they still did that.
Yeah. Yeah.
True.
You're right.
It's true.
Right.
All right, we're gonna have to leave it right there. But we want to hear from you. Which Pokemon are you picking as your starter for Sword and Shield? Are you excited for the inevitable third game, Pokemon Gun? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, it's been a big week for the fighting game community, so we'll reset the bracket. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, on our social media question this week, we ask what the toughest boss battle you've ever beaten is. Now we're going to put together a list of our favorite boss battles of all time. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening at CBS Sports Radio 1300 in Baltimore, as well as the Ticket 1230 in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at bpodstudios.com. For more great listening options, like If You Give a Rick a podcast for kids about the world of children's books, and Nerd Radio for everything from sci-fi to wrestling to all things nerdy in between, go to bpodstudios.com. The place to be for podcast discovery. On the last episode's social media question, we asked you what your toughest boss battle that you'd ever beaten was. Well, today, we're going to put together a list of our top favorite 15 boss battles.
Yep, so we're all going to get to contribute 3 boss battles to this list, and then the Twitch chat over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp is going to get to contribute 3 as well. So
okay,
I'm gonna lead us off, if you don't mind, with the first one. I'm going to say, from Banjo-Kazooie, Gruntilda the Witch.
Okay.
A character that you had literally talking trash to you the entire game. You had to put up with her garbage the whole way through. You had to play that stupid trivia game to get to her at the end. And then you get an amazing boss battle where you use all the game's mechanics and finally beat her.
I like it.
I think that's a really good one.
That's a good choice.
That's a good one.
All right. Who wants to go next?
I'll go next.
Go ahead.
All right. I'm going to select Ganon from Ocarina of Time.
I love that fight.
It's a great fight. And the reason why is because you've spent the entire game acquiring the tools to be able to beat him. And you have to utilize so many of those tools. It really felt like, okay, like getting the arrows of light really had a purpose.
It mattered.
Yes.
It was the culmination of that game.
Exactly. And it really felt like everything that I've done has had a purpose. And it led me to this moment.
Using the Forest Temple mechanic of bouncing the light back and forth.
You got it, man.
It was really good.
It was perfectly tuned and still to this day one of my favorites.
All right, I was actually going to use an Ocarina of Time boss as well, but I want to double up on game, so I'm going to go with an easy one here and say the final Sephiroth from FF7.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, throwing the meteor, I forget what the name of the move is called,
Supernova.
When you see Supernova happen for the first time, you're just like, oh, well, I'm just dead then, right? Like it's game
that's
over.
That's it.
Yeah.
You technically should be dead.
Absolutely.
So should he.
Knights of the Round, man. That's all you need is Knights of the Round.
For me, I am going to throw a little bit of a curveball in the mix, and I'm going to say a series of fights, which is the X-Hunters from Mega Man X2.
Yep.
You had to beat all three of them to get the parts to recreate Zero.
Yep.
And he would help you in the last stage. And
it's a little set of fights,
is
too.
Is it a gauntlet fight? Like one
no,
right after
you
another?
Have to
no.
Find them. Like they'll pop, they'll spawn in different parts of different stages, and you have to go and find where you can actually fight them at.
Gotcha. Yeah. Right. Gotcha.
Nate, you want to give us one from the chat?
Yeah, let's take one from the chat here. Going back to the Final Fantasy series, Epic Lurker in our chat over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp suggesting Kefka from FF6.
A classic.
One of the greatest homicidal maniacs of all in all of gaming history. So, good choice right there.
My next one, I don't know if this is cheating, but it's hard to pick one. Can I just say Shadow of the Colossus?
Yes.
A game of 16 boss battles.
And that's the thing. I was trying to pick one out of there, and I couldn't pick one.
I'll say Avian, the fifth guy who flies. That's a great one in particular.
That is a good one.
But I'm just going to say Shadow of the Colossus.
That's fair. The one that you fight in the desert.
Yep, Sand Snake.
Not the one that's flying.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah.
All right, Nate?
All right, so for my second one, I'm going to have to say Cain from Legacy of Cain Soul Reaver.
Yeah.
Now, here's the reason is because I was a big fan of Blood Omen, and I noticed that in that fight, you're utilizing a lot of the tools that you had gained in Blood Omen. So some of the reasons that I liked the Ganon fight from Ocarina of Time carry over into why I like Legacy of Cain, except there's like 5 years worth of difference between those two games. So it's an attention to detail that I absolutely love.
All right, so mine it takes the place of a boss fight, but isn't in your normal typical one. I'm going to say the final battle of Mass Effect 3 when you're on Earth and you just have to go up against like multiple witches and brutes, and they just throw all of the hardest enemies in the game at you at one time. On Insanity mode, nothing is more tense than that. Like there's times where you're scrambling around wondering where your next thermal clip is going to come from and how much longer you have to hold this out.
Yeah, definitely.
Norris, what's your next one?
I gotta go with this one just for sheer cinematic value, and that is the fight with Liquid Snake on top of Metal Gear Rex.
Yes. Ooh, yes. Done, mirrored in a very kind of like full circle way with the way that Solid Snake ends up facing off with Revolver
Liquid
Ocelot. Liquid Ocelot, yes, if you want to get technical about it, on the top of the Metal Gear. That was also an epic fight, but yes, a great way to end that game.
All right, we need another one from the Twitch chat now.
From the Twitch chat, we've got from BC Black Fox 187 over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp, the great Pooh from Conker's Bad Fur Day.
The great mighty Pooh.
As one of the most hilarious boss battles in all of gaming, I'm going to have to go with that one. That seems like a great suggestion.
A full opera while you fight.
Exactly.
I'm fine with that.
Absolutely.
Okay, up next, I have to say it from Bayonetta, Jubileus. One of the, you fight a deity at the end of that game who has been alluded to the entire game, much like Grunty. You've heard about her since the beginning of the game. She shows up and you punch her through the solar system into the sun when you
beat
her. Awesome fight sequence. Awesome. A huge scale. I love it. Jubileus.
Awesome. For my last boss battle, I don't know if it technically counts as a boss, but Cynthia from Diamond and Pearl was...
Ooh.
Just,
I'd say so.
Brutal.
I agree with that.
And you can
fair.
And you can really get put up against a wall with her, because like it's been a while since I've gone through Diamond and Pearl, but if I'm not mistaken, she's the final trainer at the end of the final the Elite Four, and she just wrecks you. Just with her first Pokemon,
like
Salamence, just wrecks your face.
As great a boss as Rival was from Red and Blue, like, Cynthia, way harder.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm going to have to go from an MMO. I'm actually going to pull Arthas, the Lich King battle from World of Warcraft.
From Wrath of the Lich King?
Yeah, that was a character that was buried back so deep and was so important to the lore and the fabric of that game. And being able to actually take him down was just, it was a monumentous occasion for anyone who played any of the Warcraft games.
And I hate to repeat something I said for the previous asking of this question, but the Archangel fight from 11.
One of the toughest you've ever beaten, but still one of the best fights
of all time. And that's the definition of a gauntlet fight right there.
I love that fight, but that's tied with Titan Extreme on your PlayStation 3, Azure Dragoon. Okay.
See,
getting real specific now.
we didn't hear yesterday. I know someone said it, but we didn't get to say it on the show. Is Absolute Virtue was mentioned, because Absolute Virtue before the current era was legendary. Like, you don't get things like that where people literally just think, no, you can't beat it. It's a joke boss that they spawn at the end of it. You can't actually win.
Right. Did we need one more from the chat?
We need one more from our chat.
All right.
I have one from Carletta in our chat here. It says, Tom Nook in the last mortgage payment in Animal Crossing.
Tom Nook.
I've never played Animal Crossing.
I don't think Tom Nook is a boss. I don't think
he's literally
like
your boss.
He's literally your boss. What are you talking about?
Oh, man, actually,
I mean, I guess at its most...
Is that a battle?
At its most fundamental...
Hey, if you have ever had to pay a bill yourself in real life, that is a boss battle if I have ever had one.
I have a real mortgage now, and that does feel like every bit a struggle against a boss.
It's real close to home now, doesn't it?
All right, you know what? We're going to accept it. We're going to accept Tom Nook as number 15 on this list. This is a great set of fights, by
the way. So just to run down one more time, we've got Grunty, Ganon, Sephiroth, X-Hunters, Kefka, Shadow of the Colossus, really any of them. Kane from Legacy of Kane, Soul Reaver, Mass Effect 3's Final Battle, Liquid Snake, the Great Mighty Pooh, Jubileus, Cynthia from Diamond and Pearl, Arthas from The Wrath of the Lich King, the Archangels from Final Fantasy 11, and Tom Nook.
What a great
list. I love how you wrap that list up with Tom Nook.
All right, we're going to have to leave it right there. Who did we leave off this list? We want to hear from you on social media. Share your opinions with us at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily, it's been a busy week for the fighting game community, which means there's a lot of questions out there right now. Well, don't worry. We're going to reset the bracket for the FGC. Ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. My name's Dave Bender. So glad to have you locked in with us. I want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Make sure you're following us on our freshly partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We've got tons of new emotes, including each of our beautiful faces, as well as not one, but two cat emotes. Tali and Fritz, our actual cats, are now Twitch emotes. And there's only one place to get them. That's over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. It's been a busy week in the FGC, and we need to take some time to now break everything down that's going on. So it's time to reset the bracket.
Yep, so we're going to hit some of the major questions that are coming our way about the FGC, starting with this one. You guys talked a lot about Frostbite 2019. Now, was it actually a big deal, or did you guys just like it because it was in Detroit?
Well, I do think it was a big deal. I mean, it was one of the first tournaments in 2019 that featured Smash Ultimate. So whether we had a little bias because it was in Detroit or not doesn't undersell the fact that we're still getting used to this game and the meta that surrounds it.
I think it's not just that. This was the first tournament that eschewed having Melee
there
as a bracket.
Oh, that's right. Another important distinction.
That's what I think makes Frostbite such a big deal, especially now that we know that Evo has cut Melee from its lineup. And I think that, you know, I don't want to say that Frostbite may have been part of the deciding factor to end up cutting Melee, but I think it lent a lot of credibility to the decision behind cutting Melee from the Evo lineup.
By not having Melee there, it's not like people like MK, Leo, Hungrybox, like any of the greats were suddenly going to be like, well, I'm not going now.
Exactly.
They're still going to show up and play Ultimate.
And that's been a big part of the Smash Brothers scene for a long time, is that every time a new game has tried to come out and supplant Melee, or people have tried to move off of it, it's really just ended up making a secondary scene that wasn't quite as good as right. the Melee scene. And you knew that as soon as those Melee players stepped into whatever game they would dominate, mm-hmm. right? So people kept watching Melee because it was agreed upon as the more competitive game. Now we've got Ultimate, and I think that that is very much up for debate.
Well, I mean, no matter what, it's a major tournament. I mean, this was not, you know, some $500 minor. The 1,300 people showed up to compete. It was definitely a big tournament and worthy of some attention this week. Up next, we got, you guys are always talking about this Evo thing. What is it and what games are there?
All right, so what Evo is the largest concentration, the biggest fighting game tournament.
Can we call it the
Earth.
Super Bowl of fighting games?
It basically is that. Yeah. It basically is that. It's the Super Bowl of fighting games. Every fighting game that is worth its salt tries its best to be featured at Evo. And the lineup of Evo this year is going to be Street Fighter V, Dragon Ball FighterZ, Tekken 7, MK11, Smash U, Soul Calibur V, Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle, Under Night, Inbirth, Problematic Anime Splash Screen, and Samurai Showdown.
Wait, well, what was that?
Under Night, Inbirth, and some other mess. It's an anime fighter.
Can we not get rid of that and put Melee back in there? Like, that seems fair.
Yeah, why is that included?
People really, really like anime fighters.
More than Melee.
Probably not.
but the developers for those games
support the games, and Nintendo has gone out and said, basically, we're supporting Ultimate, not Melee.
And Dragon Ball FighterZ didn't make the main stage this year after doing incredibly well on the main stage last year. Can you explain that at all?
I really can't. I don't understand the logic behind
that. Is Shueisha involved in that at all? Could they be punishing them because Shueisha's not playing ball with the FGC overall?
But that decision is Evo's to make. I mean, right. that ball is not necessarily even in Shueisha's court. Once they get the green light for them to have the game at the tournament.
Well, no. What I'm saying is that could this be a reaction from Evo to punish the developers of the game for not playing ball with the wider FGC?
That would be cutting off their nose to spite their face.
Well, I would say a lot of people would argue that not putting Dragon Ball FighterZ on the main stage is Evo cutting off their nose to spite their face.
No, I think it is. I think it is because it got the biggest numbers from last year.
Yeah.
So by not putting it on the main stage, you are actively saying we're okay with our numbers being smaller for that day.
To me, this is a not so subtle nod to Bandai Namco. Listen, get your ducks in a row. Play ball with the rest of the FGC, and don't try to hoard this to yourself. Because if you try, we're not gonna give you any air to breathe.
Yep. So maybe I just missed it. I love Smash Melee. Why exactly is it not going to be at Evo?
Well, it's not going to be at Evo because, number one, everybody wants to play Ultimate. And Nintendo,
it's 54 years old.
And Nintendo wants everybody to be playing Ultimate. But to Nate's point,
just let it die already.
It's old.
That's the thing. Ultimate really needs the chance to, you know, be in the spotlight by itself.
Obviously, the Melee players are playing Ultimate.
Has it not earned it?
I think
Ultimate as a mm-hmm. game is strong enough, good enough, mechanically sound enough, and has brought the talent together enough to say, yes, this is the game to supplant Melee. It's finally time. It's only taken 130 years.
And at the same
time, it's finally time.
And at the same time, people who were playing Street Fighter, they play Street Fighter V. That's the big tournament. That's what it is for every other game.
That's true. Well, and it's very rarely not a Street Fighter that's at the top of that pyramid. Mm-hmm.
All right. I loved Marvel vs. Capcom growing up. What are these rumors I'm starting to hear about a new game?
Yeah. So essentially, people are using Evo. Devs are using Evo to make big announcements in the fighting game sphere. And so right now, they've been sort of an undercurrent of people expecting an announcement dealing with Marvel vs. Capcom.
Oh.
There's a huge FGC vet by the name of Filipino Champ, and he gave a huge list of all of his main characters in every fighting game he's ever played. And at the bottom of that list, it said MVC4. Or Magneto ? Winky face. And so everybody's sitting back like, wait, does Filipino Champ know something that we don't know? And the big thing is there's two camps because people expect this to be on the way, especially to fight off Dragon Ball Fighters.
And to erase the memory of Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite.
Exactly. So people are saying, is this a new game or is this going to be an ad hoc, pretty much, you know, update to Infinite with maybe 3v3 updated graphics, etc., new characters. So those are the two camps. Nobody really knows. Nothing's been announced. But don't be surprised if at Evo there's a big announcement with MVC.
Now, do you think if there is a big announcement for MVC that they're going back to their roots? They're going to eschew the Infinite stuff and go back to what they were doing before that?
I don't think it's been long enough for them to have had a new engine to make a new game. I think whatever they had would have to be built on the backbone of Infinite.
Just go back to 2D, man.
But if they go with 3v3, speed up the gameplay, bring in some new characters, they might be able to save that.
Well, the hardware might be able to support it now, because I think that if you tried to keep that gameplay as fast as it was in the old MVC, you're going to start losing frames.
Maybe, but I think it'll be able to support it now. It's just a question of they simply did not have the time to go back and draw sprites and go back to 2D or something like
that. All right, we're going to have to leave it right there, but we want to hear from you. Do you have a question or something that you want to hear run down on Reset the Bracket? Let us know. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website at checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a full archive of episodes, podcasts, and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. I want to thank our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. And, of course, my co-hosts who pull double duties as producers for Checkpoint XP. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and over at the Checkpoint News Desk, Joe Sloan. My name's Abe Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.